This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You don't need to have permission from God to meet a need. You don't need to have permission from God to be a blessing to somebody, to help somebody. You don't need a word from God. You don't need confirmation. Confirmation is all over the Bible. This is probably one of my very favorite because it's what we call the story of the Good Samaritan. And so I get to teach you this morning about love, about walking in love and doing the things that God asks us to do. And I can tell you that no matter what we know, if we're not doing it, it's useless. No matter what we know, sometimes we get so proud of what we know. We feel so spiritual when we open up our Bibles and we've got it underlined in pink and blue and yellow and highlighted and check marks and stars. And I mean, we just look like, man, we have studied the Bible so much. We know so much. But none of it does us any good at all if we're not doing it. So I'm going to start with a question, not to be insulting, but just to make you think. And I direct this to myself too. What are you doing to help somebody else? What are you doing to make somebody else's life better? You know, even for me, I have to be careful. I spend so much time teaching these things and studying to teach these things. I have to kick my own self in the tutu every once in a while and say, now, get busy, make sure that you're not just telling somebody else what to do, but be sure that you're doing it. And yes, I'm helping people with my teaching and we're helping people through our outreaches. But what I'm interested in today is what are we doing in our everyday life? I want to tell you something before you get out of this building today, if you stay for the afternoon session, driving home, when you get home, before this day ends, you will have several opportunities to apply what I'm going to teach here today. But it's entirely possible that you could hear all this. A lot of people are going to clap today. You're going to agree. It's great. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. But it's all useless if when you have the opportunity to do something, whether you do it or not. And I'll tell you what. There's a word that we should just think about for a few minutes, the word excuse. We have so many excuses for why we can't do it, even though we know we should do it, or we're going to do it, but we can't do it now. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, if you wait for all conditions to be favorable, you will never sow. And how often do we think, well, when I have more time, when I'm not so busy, when I have more money, the next time I'll do that. But now is the time when we need to start taking action. Let me tell you what the world needs to see. And I mean this with all my heart. I really believe if every person who calls himself a Christian was out in the world acting like a Christian, I don't think we'd have the mess in our society that we do right now. The main reason why the world disrespects Christians and Christianity is because we preach a lot and don't do nearly as much as what we preach. Come on. And when I say we, I mean every single one of us. So, Father, I thank you for the word today, and I pray that it will be received graciously and that it will be life-changing in Jesus' name. Luke 10, 25 through 29. And then a certain lawyer arose to test and tempt him being Jesus, saying, Teacher, what am I to do to inherit everlasting life? That is to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom. Jesus said to him, well, what is written in the law? What have you read? And he replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God, love yourself in a balanced way, love other people. If you've never heard me talk about loving yourself, it's not a selfish thing to love yourself. God loves you. You need to receive his love, and you need to have a respectful, good attitude toward yourself. We don't all do everything right, but you need to have a healthy relationship with yourself, because if you don't, you're never going to have a good relationship with people. You know why? You can't give away what you don't have. For years after becoming a more committed Christian and studying the Word, I'm telling you, I wanted to love people. I wanted to be at peace with people, and I just could not. And God had to show me that I could not give away what I didn't have. I was not receiving his mercy, so I couldn't give it. I wasn't receiving his love, so I couldn't give it. And so you got to think about your relationship with you. What kind of a relationship do you have with yourself? If you don't like yourself, then you're not going to like very many other people either. That's all the time I have for that. That's a good subject to preach on, but can't get into that too much. But so he said, I mean, the guy, he knew what the law said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Well, I wonder what that would really look like. I mean, what would we really be like if we loved God even as much as we do dinner? If we, come on, do you know how far people will go just to get something that they want to eat? I mean, have any of you ever gotten a craving for something sweet and gotten up and gotten dressed and get in your car and drive somewhere? Come on. All right. But you know, when it comes to, not everybody's like this, of course. I mean, you people made an effort. You're here in this conference. You took your Saturday to be here. But I'm not just talking to the people in this room. I'm talking to lots of people from all over the world. And I'm just telling you, you can have as great of a relationship with God as you want to have. It just depends on how much time you're willing to put into it. I'm going to say that again. You can have as great a relationship with God as you want to. It just depends on how much time you're willing to put into it. And let's just add this, how much you're willing to do of what you know. How many of you know that you know that you know, you've read it enough times, you know that you should forgive people quickly who hurt you? How many know that? All right. But how many of you are sitting here today mad at somebody? Okay, well, we'll just move right on past that, I guess. But it does make a good point. We know it. Well, this religious guy, this lawyer, he knew. He was able to answer Jesus right away. Jesus said, what does the law say? Oh, I mean, he had the answer. I'm sure he felt so proud of himself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor even as you love yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this. You've answered correctly. Do this. You know, something that I've learned about love, and I'm glad that I'm teaching this today because I need to hear it again. Nothing makes you happier than getting your mind off yourself and focusing on being a blessing to somebody else. It's really true. There's an actual physical energy that I can feel when I purposely think, what can I do for somebody else today? How can I make somebody else's life better today? There's something about just having your mind on yourself. It just drags you down and your focus is all just on you. I think one of the things that I hate worse than anything else about feeling bad or being sick or having pain somewhere is it causes you to just focus on yourself and how you feel all the time. And I don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to live my life just all focused on me and wrapped up in me. Because honestly, the more you think about yourself, the more miserable you become. It's really true. The more you think about other people, the happier you're going to be. Do this and you will, look at the promise. Do this and you will live and enjoy active, blessed, endless life in the kingdom of God. So he's basically saying, look, if you'll let love be the center of your life, loving God, loving yourself in a balanced way, loving other people, you are going to be one happy Christian. You are going to have a life worth living. You're going to have joy. But actually, this guy who asked Jesus this question, he really didn't even want an answer. He was actually trying to find a way to tempt him or to test him or to tie him up with words. And so the man said, verse 29, it says, and he, being determined to acquit himself of reproach, because already this is starting to bother him, he said, and who is my neighbor? And I guess that's the big question before us today. When God says to love everybody, just who is he talking about? I mean, is everybody everybody? Surely that doesn't include the people that are not like us. Surely that doesn't include people from other churches, especially one of those weird, strange churches. Oh, no, I can't love them. And let me say here from the beginning, love is not a feeling. It's not an ooey-gooey feeling. It's a decision about how we're going to talk about people. Come on. How we're going to talk about people. We don't need to be talking about how wrong this other church is or how many things we don't like about, you know, just find something you can agree on. Do you all believe in Jesus? Do you love God? Now, there are false religions and things that we do need to speak up about, things that don't agree with the Word of God, but I'm just talking about all the division that exists in the body of Christ over all these petty little differences that people have, many of which are not going to make one bit of difference to anybody's salvation. Oh, well, I heard that you speak in tongues. Well, whew, I can't have anything to do with you. Well, do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or do you baptize in Jesus' name only? I mean, whole denominations split in half over stuff like that. Well, do you believe in baptizing babies, or do you think that you should be baptized as an adult? Well, you know, if it really confuses you that much, then just do both. You know, I mean, honestly, it's like we... You know, we're straining at a gnat and missing the whole point of what God wants for us. We have to stop finding things to fight about and start finding things to agree on. Well, surely, he didn't mean to love our enemies. Well, if you survive this long enough, at the end, I'm going to end with a scripture that should leave us all going, you have got to be kidding. But I want you to remember that loving somebody is not how you feel about them. It's how you decide to treat them because of your love for God. Now, we established last night that loving people does not mean that you never confront bad behavior. It doesn't mean that you overlook a sinful lifestyle and you never confront them, but you can love somebody even that you don't hang out with very much and don't even feel that you could hang out with very much because their lifestyle would prevent you from spending a lot of time with them, but you can still love them. Well, what does that look like then? Well, you pray for them. Now, I'm getting ready to say something important here. You don't talk bad about them. This is really simple. How can I love See, we think that if we don't have all these great feelings about somebody, that we don't love them. But really, it has nothing to do with feelings. Love is a decision about how you're going to treat people. And we can do a lot of things for Jesus that we wouldn't want to do for the person. And that's what we have to get to. I'm going to use an example. And of course, if you've heard much of my teaching, you know that I come from a background of being sexually abused by my father. And so I talk a lot about my relationship with him and, you know, how hard some of that was. But my mother was also a part of this because she knew what he was doing and she didn't do anything about it. And if you want to know the absolute truth, I have had a harder time getting over that even than what he did, because to be honest, I still don't understand. I have no comprehension of how a mother could do that. I don't get it. But I do know that she was afraid of my father, and fear will make you do a lot of really crazy things. And nobody heard of sexual abuse. There were no talk about incest back in the days when I was going through this. And finally, after 30 years after this happened to me, my mother finally apologized to me, and she said, I just couldn't face the scandal. Couldn't face the scandal. So God gave me a grace, really, not to hate her, but I guess I would have always thought, but I didn't love her. But now I know that I did love her. I didn't feel loving toward her, but I loved her, because when she became older and couldn't care for herself, we took care of her for 15 years in nursing home with visits, taking her to doctors, making sure she had nice clothes, let her get her hair done every week at the beauty shop there. I mean, we did what Jesus would have had us do. I never had the feelings of wanting to. Actually, my mother actually asked me one time, and I hope this doesn't sound too bad, but I'm all about truth. And she just said to me, how do you feel about me? Do you love me? And I said, well, I said, I don't love you as somebody should be able to love their mother, because you didn't take care of me. You weren't a mother to me. But I said, I do love you as someone that Jesus loves, and I will always make sure that you're taken care of, and I will not mistreat you. It just was on my heart to tell you about this today, because I think so often we think, because we don't feel a certain way towards somebody, that we can't love them. God is not asking me to feel all these wonderful feelings for somebody who has mistreated me or not been there for me, but he is asking me to pray for them, to not talk bad about them. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't expose, it covers. Amen? Do you know how hard it is not to talk about people? Is anybody in the building besides me know how hard that is to not do that? Now, you know, I share my story, but I have a purpose in what I'm doing. And there's nothing wrong with you telling something if you have a purpose in it, but just for the point of gossip or to make somebody look bad, you can't do that. And then here's the last thing, and this probably gets to be the hardest. If that person has a need, oh boy, I better preach backwards on this. If that person has a need, and you can actually meet that need, whether it's some kind of care, some kind of time, some kind of help, some kind of money. I mean, unless you know from God that he does not want you to do it. See, a few years ago, I made a transition. It was really helpful to me. When somebody needs help, I don't pray like this anymore. Now, God, if you really want me to do that. I mean, God, if you really, really want me. I mean, I don't want to do this, God. I don't think it's fair for you to ask, but if you really want me to do this, And I mean, I needed like a trumpet blast and three angels and two prophecies and four confirmations. You know, it's amazing how much confirmation we need when we don't want to do something, and how little confirmation we need when we do want to do something. I've never said that before, but that was good. I think I'll say that again. Well, I'm going to make your life a lot easier. You don't need to do that anymore. From now on, you just say to God, I'm going to help everybody I can unless you tell me not to. Anybody bold enough for that? Okay. You don't need to have permission from God to meet a need. You don't need to have permission from God to be a blessing to somebody, to help somebody. You don't need a word from God. You don't need confirmation. Confirmation is all over the Bible. God blesses his enemies. There's nothing that speaks to an unbeliever louder than seeing somebody that they have mistreated or disrespected being good to them and meeting a need when their back is up against the wall. I can tell you that was the thing that finally broke the hardness off of my father's heart, which allowed him then, when he was 80 years old, to receive Christ. 80 years old. He had 3 years of knowing Jesus before he died. And I don't think it would have ever happened if God wouldn't have given us the grace to love him even though he didn't deserve it. I didn't feel good about him. I didn't enjoy being around him. I didn't get excited about going to visit them. I wasn't crazy about giving them my money. Come on, I'm trying to be honest with you. But to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your power. Come on, let's stop just underlining scriptures and sounding spiritual in church when we sing songs. Let's get this out in the street and into our daily lives and start doing the hard stuff that Jesus would do. He's not telling me that I got to feel all that. He's telling me I need to do it. And I need to do it with a good attitude. Why did we take care of my parents? Because the Bible says that's what you're supposed to do. It wasn't something I wanted to do. Matter of fact, when God first put it on my heart, I rebuked it thinking it was the devil. I mean, I was like this guy. Well, you know, he's, well, who is my neighbor? I mean, he already had a few people in mind that there was no way he thought he could love them. It was pretty obvious right from the get-go that this guy didn't know what he was talking about, because he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Doing and inheriting are at opposite ends of the pole. When our children inherit whatever money we happen to have when we die, it's not because they did something to get it. We did something to get it. We did the work. We did the earning. We paid the price. And they inherit. I mean, that's the best deal around. They just happen to have the right name. They happen to have the right bloodline. They happen to be in the right family. Well, that's the same way it is with us. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and whatever he earned and gained, we get to inherit. And yes, we do need to be obedient to God, but the thing is you do it out of love, not out of legalism. We don't go out and love people and spend money on them and take our time with them and do all these things for people because we feel like it or we want to or they deserve it. We do it because it's what God says to do. And listen to this. Soon as you cross over that line, you're going to have a new joy and a new power in your life like nothing you have ever experienced before in your life. Well, I love the parable of the Good Samaritan because a lot of people had an opportunity to help this man that was hurting, but so many just passed him by. And I don't ever want to do that, and I really want to try to make sure that the people that I have the privilege of teaching don't do that either. So it's nice to say to someone, I love you, but it's our actions that really have the impact. So I encourage myself along with you. Let's all be the Good Samaritan.